Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorimple and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, jet skis, vaccines and Camag. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles and of course online at iamtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshounds Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Helen McKenna.
Hello.
Plus newspaper sales and distributions, Kate Kitchener.
Hello.
And Grace Burns.
I am.
Well, first of all, you might hear a new voice on the intro to the podcast this week, because last week we bid a cheery farewell to, I say cheery, that's not right, the correct terminology, but we bid farewell to Sam, didn't we, Katie?
We did.
Boo.
If he's listening.
Yeah, he did predict you would say something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And he will be listening because he can't miss out anything, can he?
Well, exactly.
But we've moved quickly in the transfer market, as any good club would do. And we've brought in Helen. Welcome along, Helen.
Thank you.
I was going to say it's a hard act to follow, but it really isn't, because I'm hoping you're not going to be as grumpy or as difficult to actually get into the podcast in the first place.
It was like having to set traps to get him into the room to record anyway.
Yeah, and then he was usually grumpy then, and then just got grumpier as the podcast went on. So yeah.
You lost interest the minute you hit record.
Yeah, that, to be fair. He always picked up at the end, I found. You know, when we were going through what we were going to
do. Because it was finished. Yeah. Hey.
So, good week, Paul.
Yeah, very
busy. We've had a very busy week, haven't we?
Of course, yeah. The story which has been making waves across the international media has been the story of the lovesick Scottish key worker who would stop at absolutely nothing to see his new Manx girlfriend.
Even Meatloaf wouldn't do that, would he?
Yeah, not even the strict Manx border policy would stop him.
So we're going to chat about that in a second, because it is the story, as you say, that's been making headlines and waves. I'll just leave a brief pause for you to laugh at that. Across the world. Helen, you've had a good week. Obviously, it's your second week at Isle of Man Newspapers. Has it been good?
Yeah, definitely.
You could say it's been horrendous, you know, that's fine.
I even got a Secret Santa today, which I wasn't expecting, so...
What did you get?
I got some Thornton's chocolates.
Nice.
Oh,
very nice.
Really nice.
Grace is a bit gel, aren't you?
Yes, she
is. Good week, Casey?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Brilliant?
Brilliant, yeah.
You sound like the guy from the fashion there. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, again. Yeah. Oh, that's so weird, because I went to Mr. and Mrs. Kitchener's house the other week and went through all of the DVDs in their garage and got season one and season two of The Fast Show out. Because it always reminds me of Christmas for some reason.
Are they opening a Blockbusters or?
I know Mrs. Kitchener wants rid of them all, but we keep them for obviously sentimental reasons. And you never know when you're going to watch The Fast Show.
Have you got a DVD player?
Yes, which I took from Mr. Kitchener.
Well, that's a quick straw poll. Who's still got a DVD player? Have you got one, Grace? I'm guessing you're the type of girl that likes to stream, to be honest.
But you can play them on your Xbox, can't you?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Yes, that's a fair point.
I still have a video player.
Do you?
So even more old school.
VHS?
Yeah.
Old school.
Vintage.
Yeah.
Old school.
Paul, do you know what we're talking about?
Rich old age of 24.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a DVD player?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Have you used it recently?
No. It was one of those tiny little box portable ones from like 2006.
I'm going to blow your mind now. When I went to university, I had a combi, which had a DVD and a television in it. And one of my mates had a DVD VHS combined or built into one. It was the size of something like a box. It was very big.
I mean, the 1996 generation, I remember video stores.
Did
I remember a Blockbuster video, yeah.
We never got a Blockbuster, did we, on the island?
Convenience was the best.
Yeah, Convenience was brilliant, and then when Futurama opened, it was an absolute game changer.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Helen, do you have a DVD player?
I do, yes, and I even have a cassette player.
Wow! for mixtapes? Mixtapes?
Just like a collection of old stuff from the 90s, mainly.
Wow. Oh. That's our jam, isn't it? Let's think how many obscure acts we can ask Helen if she's got on a cassette.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on. Paul, the first news story, you've already touched on it a little bit. It's a man and his love of... I was going to say his love of... It was just a woman, really, isn't it? And the lengths he will go to see that woman.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we need some sort of a romantic...
You need like the love songs music where it's like do-do-do-do. Mm-hmm.
So, take up the story, Paul.
So, yeah, the story of love across borders started with his job as a key worker. He was a roofer.
This is Dale McLaughlin, isn't it?
Yeah.
His name. 28, from Ayrshire.
Like all great love stories, it began in 1886.
Wow.
Met a Manx girl. And Yeah, I think they had to part pretty soon, and he tried to apply twice for an exemption, was knocked back, and he said, well, screw it, you know, I'm going to buy a jet ski, and I'm going to drive from Glasgow to the Isle of Whithorn, and I reckon it'll take me 40 minutes to the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
It took him 4 hours.
Four and a half hours. Yeah. So this is the story about Dale. It was at our front page this week. We thought we were tantalisingly close to an exclusive, but it broke just on Monday night, just after the ink was drying on the Examiner. It's an amazing story. He appeared in court this week. He was jailed for 4 weeks, wasn't he, for breaking COVID regulations? Because it's quite interesting how the police caught him as well, isn't it?
He wasn't exactly lying low.
Yeah,
sounded like they picked him up on a night out.
Yeah,
you know.
And he was they now the way that it was phrased in the court story, they happened upon him. I think was the phrase. And then they were like
staring at his license, like, "That's where you're from, for Paisley, mate."
He was actually from Irvine,
okay,
which was in Ayrshire. So he said, "I'm here. Yeah, I'm just staying with the girlfriend." Yeah. And then they obviously went back and checked, and he had no exemption to come in, because as a regular traveller, Grace, you have a lot of
you need to fill them London forms out.
And he had obviously had not done that, because he came in a jet ski into Ramsey. But there's so many facets to this story, isn't it, Paul? Because when he got to Ramsey, obviously 4.5 hours on the jet ski, he's probably a little bit distressed at that point. He then decided to walk 15 miles to his girlfriend's home in Douglas, which just using the road signs, apparently.
Yeah, following the moonlight, I guess. Still delirious from Buckfest and exposure.
I don't think he's ever walked from Ramsey to Douglas.
No, I was going to say, I honestly think that is more impressive than the actual jet ski journey. Walking from Ramsey to Douglas.
When we were talking about this on Monday in the newsroom, that was the part that sort of struck a chord with me more. Rather than the fact he'd done a jet ski for 4.5 hours between Isle of Whithorn and Ramsey, seemingly without any experience of using a craft. And there is a rumour he can't even swim.
So, I've heard
that, this. Yeah, the Manx jungle drums have been in overdrive this week. But yeah, so that 50 miles. Now, I'm like, did he go over the mountain? Did he go through Lax?
Yeah, like, well, if you'd have seen him. Because he had his little... Because of that jet ski picture that we had on the front page of the Indy. Mm. He's got his little rucksack on.
So that's not little. I'm saying you're talking about 55 litres.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at some of the comments on the story on our website, people are saying that they thought it was someone else on the back of the jet ski with him. His rucksack. Is that big?
Wow.
But I also want to point this. I think this makes the story even more peak Manx, isn't it? That someone took a picture of him on the way in because it was a bit strange. Like, oh, who's that fella with a jet ski? It's a bit strange. 1 o'clock on a Friday. Better take a couple of pictures.
Is the jet ski still in Ramsey?
Yes. So that was, again, peak Manxness. It took to the social media, wasn't it? Whose jet ski is this? It's bumped into my boat.
Yeah.
And it was one in the very same, wasn't it, Grace?
Black and red jet ski.
So the other facet, again, I'm talking about the many facets, to my word of the day, is that it's been all over the world, this story, hasn't it?
Absolutely everywhere. We've been on the phone to the Nationals, loads have been calling up, asking if we have more information on it, did we interview the girlfriend, that kind of thing. And, I think the New York Times, Jimmy Kimmel mentioned it on his show. It went absolutely everywhere.
I think even Channel 9 in Australia covered it.
Yeah.
We had an inquiry from a Polish newspaper the other day for some information.
This could be our chance to chase Neighbours for bad-mouthing.
Yes!
Now that Channel 9 sort of know deal. Who we are.
Because they show Channel 9, the host broadcaster, I think, of Neighbours in Australia, weren't they, I think?
Oh.
So this is it. Paul again looking blankly. The only Australian I never watched Neighbours. So there will be more on this story in the Examiner next week. Oh, sorry, the Examiner Pendant. What's the
Examiner Pendant?
Examiner Pendant, because it's a very special joint edition where we marry the two.
Yeah.
Usually at Christmas time. But if you have been under a rock and haven't heard about the jet ski Romeo, there was tons in the Examiner, more in the Indy, and there's loads online at our website, imtoday.co.im, if you want to find out more about that. If you're inspired to buy, if you want to see these pictures and you want inspired to buy a digital edition, Katie, how would you do that?
So go to imtoday.co.im and click on digital editions.
Yep.
And then you can just, you'll see it, you'll see him on the jet ski, click on that picture, and you can purchase the paper for £1.
That was the other thing I was going to say, the picture as well, they were cracking pictures, it's not like, you know, sometimes we get pictures set in, on a blur on a camera phone.
It's high quality.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on. Another new arrival in the island this week probably has caused maybe equal amount of stir is the fact we've got COVID-19 vaccines now, isn't it, Ellen?
Yes, they have arrived, and they are going to care homes, firstly. We don't know which one will be the first.
There's a race.
So, well, I was just thinking, are they going to have police convoys around the van that's delivering?
Well, the old biddies have to do an egg and spoon race.
It might get out of hand. But yes, so that is very exciting news, obviously.
So they arrived on the island today, Thursday? Or,
I think it was yesterday, I would have thought. But the announcement was today.
Yeah.
Pfizer and BioNTech is the first, obviously, to get theirs out. I think it's Oxford University that will have the next one, which hopefully we'll all get at some point next year. David Ashford has said he's very happy.
Of course he is. Always happy. Always happy, actually. So with this vaccine and the rollout, there's obviously still a lot of questions around it. As you say, we think it's going to be care homes first, and then I think it's 80 plus age group are probably going to be the next in line. But there's no time frame been given yet, and also there's lots of questions about who's going to deliver it and where, isn't it, at the moment, which
That's
hopefully
right.
we're going to find out more about in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so the first phase, it takes about 8 weeks, and then later on in the programme, residents will be invited to a vaccination hub, which is as priority groups are called, and this will be in Isle of Man Airport.
I suppose it's sitting pretty empty at the moment.
Yeah, well, true. But I'm wondering as well, are they going to have police there? Is it going to get out of hands? I'm just picturing, like, masses of people.
I think you're thinking about the worst case scenario, and you got to remember, a lot of these people are going to be elderly.
So yes, true.
As long as there's a brew on, I'm sure they'll be happy. You may be able to grab one on the way through next
week.
Yeah,
I know. Next week,
as
I'm off.
Yeah.
Swipe one.
Obviously, the government sent a press release out by this, and then there was a picture of the vaccine attached to it. Now, I personally wouldn't know my Pfizer from any other vaccine, so it could have been a short stock special, couldn't it, Grace? You just wouldn't know, would you?
Yeah, you don't know, I guess.
So my thought was, why didn't they take it to a local landmark and have them, like, next to Laxi Wheel, going, here they are, or, you know, arriving on a jet ski in the harbour, maybe something like that,
That would have been more impressive.
Maybe he was delivering them. This has just been an elaborate cover story for him delivering the vaccine.
Yeah, because that would explain the high-quality photos of him arriving.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
They're, like, the same colour of blue as well as mouthwash, so, you know, they could have, like, pretend ones, just in case there's an uproar.
Decoys. Yeah. They could smash them ones, that's fine. So there's more about that in this week's Courier, which will be coming through your letterbox in the very near future.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, would you rather... Grace.
Here we go.
I don't know. Well, you've got lots of things to choose from this week. You always try and keep it topical. I don't know whether you're going to go jet skis. I don't know whether you're going to go Christmas. I don't know whether you're going to go vaccine. Where are you going to go?
We're going to go jet ski.
Yes.
So would you rather, every time you want to leave the island, it has to be via jet ski?
Right.
So that's the only form of transport you can get on.
Or the other option is you just never leave the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Or... cut off your big toe on the left.
Again with the dismemberment.
there's a trend with this.
But if you cut off your big toe, you've lost your balance.
Can you get a prosthetic big toe?
No, it's just pure gone for the rest of your life.
And in the jet ski, are you driving?
You're driving. You can put, you know, you can have a guest. you know, if you wanted to go to Spain, you're getting on the jet ski from here to Spain.
Oh, no, that's my toe's going
changer.
Straight away.
That is an absolute game changer.
But then even when you go on holiday, where your balance will be off.
You couldn't even wear sandals, could you?
No.
No?
Yeah, especially them ones with the big toe loops.
Yeah, no, my Havaianas will all just have to go to hospice, yeah. No.
Right, we're going to go around the room then. Paul, toe or jet ski?
I need some clarification here. So all international travel has to be direct from the island.
On a jet ski.
Via jet ski. So if I want to go to Australia... I have to, like, risk death doing the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cape of Good Hope.
But, according to Grace, your balance will be off without your big toe.
It will.
I think maybe with enough preparation, warm clothes, I could take the jet ski.
It's you, the jet ski.
The range of an average jet ski is 75 to 125 miles per hour. I've researched a lot about jet skis this week. So how would you do that? Would we have some special jet ski? Because Paul going to Australia, it's going to take him a while, isn't it?
Could drones deliver extra fuel?
Yeah, so to go like, so you could go overseas and then you could get like a train.
Can you bring out the drones? Sorry, Casey, you could stop other countries.
Yeah, so say if you went to like Spain, but you wanted to go to Germany, like obviously you can like travel down through train. Because they're all joined.
So it's land masses, basically.
Yeah, so you just, you know, I'm not, obviously you can't get a jet ski like into the middle of Europe, so I'd expect.
So could with the jet ski, I just go to UK and then get a train down to London, Eurotunnel through.
We're not. We can't get the Eurotunnel.
Oh,
okay.
That's very.
It's jet ski to cross water.
I feel there's lots of holes in this story.
I'm still going to go with the jet ski.
Jet ski?
Just be bobbing around the Atlantic. What are you doing? Wait for my drone. On the jerry cam. There it is. All these tankers wiping you out.
Yeah. Helen?
I mean, it's pretty gross, but I'd probably go for losing the toe. Just because it's...
Katie's nodding very firmly. She's like, get rid of the toe.
Well, I just don't have... Most standard holiday days off is like 26 days of leave. It would take more than 26 days for me to jet ski around to most of Europe.
She's got a good point, guys.
I also had a pretty traumatic experience on a jet ski on holiday once, so that's another reason why.
I also think, but you know, Grace, is, you know, with modern technology, you could probably do a bit of working on the jet ski.
Yeah.
If you got
you
a thing,
you can customize your jet ski to, you know,
some nitrous on it.
Paul's can't fall past him and Van Diesel with the drones coming in over them. Grace,
I'd probably go jet ski. It's a bit of fun, isn't it? Rather than
it's
losing
a bit of fun.
Well, I will fly away and wave at you all,
but you'll be like off balance on the plane.
My toes aren't that massive, so they're not going to really off balance me too much.
How far are you going in with the lob off?
Like, you don't have a toe. That's your whole balance goes when you go get rid of a big toe.
I didn't know that.
Grace has said this before. She does a lot of research.
I just feel like that's one of the things that, imagine not having your balance
I feel like you could get around that. So I'm going to go toe as well, because I just feel the novelty of a jet ski would just get really thin. And like, I've got two kids, possibly, you know, a third on the way. Like, having them on the back of the jet ski for 4.5 hours just to get to flipping wherever would do my head in. Are we there yet? No. Are we there? It would be even worse on a jet ski than it is in the car. So
you wouldn't really be able to hear them, though, would you?
That's a fair
how
point.
Many playlists you'd have to make to get you over the voyage.
We'd be going through all Helen's cassettes with me just to get there. So, again, another cracking and always lively debate you do spark, Grace, but maybe, as Paul says, we could move away in the new year from dismemberment. You've got a few weeks to think of something.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, our beloved Sam has left us, but that doesn't mean this week in history has as well. We go back to the Monas Herald of Tuesday, 22nd of December 1959 for our front page in history this week. There is tons of stories on it, Paul. You've got your glasses on, so it must be serious. What caught your eye this week?
Marooned on Chicken Rock.
Oh,
they were
most fascinating story on this page.
Did it involve a jet ski?
I don't think they're invented in 1959. Fun fact.
Oh, here we go.
Jet ski is not an actual proper noun. It was made up by Kawasaki.
You weren't lying when you said fun.
Kawasaki in the 60s, and it's like Hoover. How everything is now called Hoover.
That's why they can't. The BBC couldn't use it, could they? Yeah. Jet ski.
Oh, because
it technically is like.
Is it brand?
Branding? Yeah.
It's technically a personal watercraft.
Now again, I will bore the pants off you with this one. When you port a cabin, people think, oh, I know what Porter Cabin is. Mm. That's a trade name as well. So Porter Cabin, you always have to, if you're going to use it, make sure it's a Porter Cabin. We've got very Alan Partridge with this this podcast. We'll be getting the Toblerone out and driving to Dundee in a minute. Or jet skiing to Dundee. Sorry, using our portable watercraft to get to Dundee.
From his water sports videos.
Yeah. So tell us about Marooned on Chicken Rock. We've gone off the point a little bit there.
So Lighthouse Keepers on Chicken Rock have been stormbound since they were due for release 9 days ago. If weather is suitable, a further attempt to take them off will be made tomorrow, so they may enjoy Christmas with their families in Port St. Mary.
If only they had a jet ski.
Yeah.
Portable watercraft.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long they've been waiting there.
Well, it said the relief vessel for Port St. Mary, skipper by Mr. John Quine, was to have made the trip to the chickens on December 14th, so that was a week prior to this paper being out. But the cause of the severe gales and stormy seas of the journey made it impossible. Continuous bad weather prevented the relief over the next few days, so they've been out there a while. So I think is there three of them? Head keeper Charlie Roberts and Leslie Anderson, both are due for relief, and Andrew Brown. The two keepers to make the journey tomorrow, if possible, are Eric Sale and Thomas Kermode.
That's a
proper
Manx
names, aren't they? So it sounds like they always have three out on the rock, and then two are transferred at any one time. But it's amazing, 1959. Not that long ago, and it was still a manned lighthouse, because obviously all our lighthouses now are automated. Paul, I'm looking at you.
Looking at me for...
I'm just looking at you for some sort of naval inspiration, to be honest. But yeah, so it was very interesting. We don't know if they got back. Do we think they made it back for Christmas? Perhaps that was the inspiration for the Chris Rea song. Driving home to Port St. Mary. Right, Helen, any other stories catch your eye?
Well, I saw car case competition.
Okay.
So...
carcass.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So it's about dead animals. So where are you going to go with this one, Helen? Keep it light.
Sure.
Heifer or
heifer or bullet?
£600. That is a big.
That's
a big egg. So that was that was won by. So there's a carcass competition. Now, regular readers of the Food and Farming page in Examiner will know all about what we're talking here, because this was actually happened a couple of weeks ago. And they have a prime stock show, which is quite closely followed by the carcass show. Now, if you want to join the dots, we will tell you what's happened between the prime stock show, when they're still very much alive, to the carcass show, when there's a lot of dead meat being shown. So, if you want to join those dots, there you go. So the carcass show is when your carcass is judged. Now, that's pretty, look at that. Oh, that's a fine dead cow right there, isn't it? So the carcass show was won that year by A&J Farragher. It doesn't say what type of breed the cow that was won, the heifer or the bullock, but that was the 425 to 600 pound. That's a big old cow, that, isn't it?
The bigger.
Well, it lists all the winners. But as you say, the main headline was, it was encouraging production of better quality meat. So they're trying to, giving you a prize, you sort of like, are you encouraged to make your meat better, in the want of a better expression? But that's not the only meat story on the front page that week. Have you seen the other one, Paul? The main story is about poultry. Because, of course, it's Christmas. Poultry is very popular this time of year.
And basically saying that the Manx stuff is better than the UK product, I think. Better
but cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they were saying, actually, there's an argument that you could maybe charge a bit more for the poultry over here.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that went either. There's some great headlines. Workless to meet tonight. Special Tim would wanted by men. We must to announce that another meeting by the unemployed, called by a committee representing the workless men of Douglas, is to be held at Barrack Street this evening.
Oh, fine time.
I can't imagine the 2020 unemployed being that organised and having their own meeting.
And if anybody's curious, there were 684 unemployed, of whom 382 are described as suitable for work on development schemes. I don't know what they did with the rest. I guess it was down the mines. But
well, the work development schemes we've actually talked about before. So that's stuff like
Marine
big
drives,
big capital projects. And probably these days, you'd be the prom would be the way they'd be put to work. But the unemployment figures aren't actually too different to what they are at the moment.
That's obviously what I thought was interesting, for the population difference.
Yeah,
presumably.
And obviously we've obviously come through the COVID crisis and the job losses that have been incurred by that. But yeah, the figures themselves aren't actually too different. Katie, anything catch you around the front page this week?
Not really. It's all Christmas presents and Christmas messages in the advertisements.
Okay.
So it is, R.C. Keane is wishing everyone an Ollie Gennell. Ben. You've got as well best wishes for Christmas from the Bonton Stores of Farrant Street, and boys' shoes though. Boys' shoes are available.
Guaranteed 4 months' wear.
Oh,
how well that's a good point. Do you think
depending
you get 4 months
out of
the pair?
Boy though? Don't their feet grow really quickly?
Fair that's point.
Very true.
Do you think you get 4 months out of your shoes at the moment?
I would say so.
But maybe it's because people have so many pairs of shoes these days. They
you
do
rotate.
Last longer, yeah. Exactly.
To use another sporting term, you do squad rotation, don't you?
I was thinking more like crop rotation from the...
There you go, farming.
You know, they lie fallow for a while, and then they go.
Also on the front page this week, there's a wedding picture. Mrs. Elizabeth Jane Pendlebury, daughter of the Mr. and Mrs. B.J. Pendlebury of Ingledean, Belmont Hill, Douglas, was married by the vicar... Reverend PCH Matthews at St George's Church, Douglas, on Saturday to a flying officer, no less, R.L. Turner.
What a lovely pick. And then there's also Paul's favourite bit is lighting up time.
Nice. Just looking at Grace.
So when's Christmas Day? When are the lights coming on, Paul? What time?
I'll direct you again that they are different days. Which yes, I presume was done out of consideration
still,
for the power station.
I love the fact that you argue this every time. Everyone in Isle of Man wasn't sat next to their switch going, right, Doris, 4:26, let's get this Christmas tree on. Like, Paul Rose Power Station, the surge would have blown it to smithereens. It's 1959, man.
Never going to let me forget the same.
Absolutely not. I'm going to bring it up every week till next Christmas. What else? Did we have anything else caught your eye, Helen? The award for leadership. What, tell us about that, the picture at the top.
Oh. Award for Leadership. The Mayor of Douglas, Councillor T.D. Lewis, presented his prize for leadership to Marion Nelson, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. W.N. Nelson of York Road, Douglas.
What did she... Did it say what she got it for?
No.
Just a generic award for leadership.
But she went to Douglas High School for Girls.
Yes, which of course is no longer exists. Right, so that was the front page of the Monis Herald in its 127th year of publication, in Tuesday, December 22nd, 1959. If we piqued your interest in any of that, if you want to see the pictures of the Pendlebury's getting married, or even if you want to hear about the poultry crisis.
There's also a nice picture of Mr. H.K. Caller, MHK, looking off.
Yes,
looking off into the distance.
If you want to see that picture as well, please do pick up an Examiner on Tuesday, where it will be reproduced in all its glory with some commentary from the Oracle himself, Mr. John Watterson.
In the Examiner Pendant.
In the Examiner Pendant, of course. Yeah.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, last week with Yesterday and Katie, we discussed some of the winter traditions that do visit us at this time of year in the Isle of Man.
We did. We did a full summary of all the kind of bizarre things the Manx do for 2 weeks over Christmas.
Yes, because it was Black Thomas's Eve is the 21st of December.
So we stop work on the 21st of December and start...
Getting lashed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And basically, you do a collection prior to that, so you can afford to stop work for 2 weeks. But I think that was one of the things I took away from
that.
And
then you get your kind of... You're robbing people. Yeah,
you get your mullet bangs out, you get your fiddlers out, you know, they're all out and about.
Yeah.
And then your men dressed as horses that go a bit gropey, you know, there's all sorts of stuff happening. Please do listen to last week's podcast for reference on that. But this week we've gone for one of the finest Manx Christmas traditions.
Yeah, so this is something I didn't mention last week on purpose.
You kept it in your bag,
yeah,
didn't you?
Exactly. But it's more to promote, this is happening at 2 p.m. on the 26th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a game of camog. And camog was, it used to be pretty much the Manx national game until about 100 years ago when Christmas football came to the island.
Football!
So it's kind of a relative to hurling or shinty. I don't know what shinty is, but I know it's related to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what it is, you need a camming stick. But cam means crooked.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of Culture Vannon videos on this, and I've learned that cam actually means crooked in like Manx Gaelic, Irish Gaelic, and that's where the word scam comes from in English.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so your camming stick is basically... looks slightly like a hockey stick, but you cannot use a hockey stick to play camming. It's very frowned upon. It's just not cool.
Too civilised.
Exactly. But it's like a long stick with like a little crooked end to it. And yeah, so it's basically made of gorse, which is quite weak, or willow, and you just... I don't know how to describe without showing you a video. It's just two goals.
Yeah.
And a ball. And doesn't matter what age you are, you can join in. And you just chase the ball around with your stick. You try and win. There's two halves. Goes on for about 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And the big game, which is every single Boxing Day, is the North versus the South. Ooh. And it's always played on St. John's.
Yep,
so because that's considered to separate the North from the South. And yeah, so you can go this year and play. And then after, I think they go to the Timbaldon and drink and play music.
Yeah, Mike Wade, obviously our editor, is a very big advocate of this.
The video kept on saying it wasn't a violent game, but there was people with injuries being taken off.
Yeah. I often wonder, because the people just pitch up in their coats or whatever, how they differentiate between the two sides, because there's no bibs or strip or anything like that, isn't it? It does look a bit like a free-for-all, so I always got the impression that if you were near one goal and you got it, you'd be like, yeah, just go for it. Yeah. You know? And then you could flip-flop. But I'm sure it's not like that. I'm sure it's a lot more defined than
I don't think it really... From the video, it just looked like chaos, but fun. Really fun.
Have you seen it, Paul?
Never, no.
You look like a man that would enjoy a game of Kamek.
Really?
But yeah, Mike Wade is a big advocate. He plays every year. As you say, there's some great videos, isn't there, on Culture Manning.
I can imagine him getting quite aggressive with it.
Yeah. I don't know if he's found his Kamek stick yet this year.
You can
make your own. You can go into the woods and find yourself a good bit of tree.
Yeah.
And
fettle it.
Mike
made
his own.
I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a man that's prepared enough to
make his own.
But you never know. Maybe he's got one that is passed down through the tradition, through the Wades and Peel. Yeah.
On one of the Culture Vanham videos, a man was wrapping tinsel around the top as well for a nice little hand grip.
Before it was knocked off mercilessly within 2 minutes of play. How long did they play for, does it say?
It's 1 hour, so I think it's actually two halves of 20 minutes and then a break in the middle.
Right, okay, so they have a 20-minute break in the middle. Probably to tend to the wounds and refocus the
clean
sticks.
Clean the blood off the weapon.
Have you seen the Kamek?
I've never seen it.
Oh,
it sounds really interesting.
Grace, you've not seen it, have you?
No.
You're all missing out.
Have you?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've not played
it.
I used to live in St. John's, didn't I? So it was like, after Timble Day, it was that St. John's big day. Yeah.
We should get a newspapers team together.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't all survive.
Is anyone a first aider?
Yeah, we need at least three.
I have to bring Kurt along.
Yeah. I reckon Kurt would be good at Kamek. He's deceptively...
I think he's too laid back.
I've seen him play walking football.
Oh, yeah, walking football.
Where you all got injured.
I didn't, but I was in goal.
Sam got injured. Yeah. The best throws of Sam.
Duncan would be like one of those berserkers in Lord of the Rings, just thrashing his way through the battlefield, bandana around his head.
Like Rambo. That's amazing. Yeah, maybe we should do it into... We could do sort of advertising versus editorial camera game.
Oh, God.
Instead of... Pluck-a-duck or whatever it's called.
Hook-a-duck.
Yeah. We could do see who gets to score home early on a Friday, have a game of the Kamek. Yeah.
And that would take up an hour of the day as well.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Fantastic. Anything else to add about Kamek? Did you say the Boxing Day is on the 26th of December?
Yeah, in St. John's. Yeah. You're not going to miss it. It's going to be a lot of people chasing each other with sticks.
Yeah. Fascinating as always, Katie. Now, it's very sad because it is your last podcast, Katie. So we're going to have to... I don't know how we're going to do Yester Training any justice without you. Maybe you could record it and send it in for us.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe not. You don't look overwhelmed by that idea, so we'll probably can that now.
It's that thing of just me sat reading Culture Van.
Do it, you new workplace, you might enjoy it. Yeah. Bring them all around the photocopier. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you about Cameron Guy. I don't have any questions. But yeah, we will be missed, unlike Sam, but you will be missed. Yeah, it is very sad. But before we go, we do have to look ahead. This is our last podcast before the new year. We think we're going to be back the first week in January. I don't know why I look at Grace then, but we will be back first, because you're off on holiday for a couple of weeks, aren't you?
I'll zoom in.
Yeah, you'll zoom in. Paul, the exam dependent, there's loads going in it, isn't there? Anything you want to flag up in particular?
Yeah, there'll be a couple of sort of charitable Christmassy stories. Like, I think Ramsey Park Hotel's been doing free Christmas lunches for the senior citizens. and Ramsey Grammar's doing some charity Christmas challenge as well.
Right, so there'll be an examiner. Helen, I've just put your lovely story about Elite Gym opening on Christmas Day.
Yes, so they're dedicated to that every... I think they've been doing it for quite a while now, and they seem really for it.
Could you be asked?
Nah.
No, exactly. But they said they're 35 most Christmas days.
Yeah.
Which is who is going to the gym?
But
I
think that's nice.
9 till 12 Christmas morning, though.
They probably just want to feel better before they have a big meal, don't they?
But if you live on your own, though, and you don't have anyone else to speak to, and you don't want to reduce, you don't want to, start heavy drinking at 10 in the morning, why not hit the gym and at least say hello to people and
then start heavy drinking?
Happy people, right. Full of endorphins, exercising.
Yeah, well, there you go. I hadn't thought about that. Anything else?
I mean, I wouldn't go, but.
Yeah. We should fly up for the exam, Helen, you're working on?
I'm just working on an exclusive sort of feature piece, which I won't reveal. It's a very interesting individual. He's been through a lot in his life, and I think it will resonate with a lot of people that are maybe going through a hard time and coming out the other side. So
we'll look forward to that in the examiner. At that point, normally we get, this is what we do missing for, with Sam Turton sound effect. So maybe we could invest in some. Is there an equivalent of shutter stock for...
You need to get to just go through all the old podcasts and just clip the noises.
Or just take him out and get him a bit drunk and get him to do it.
Yeah,
and
record some
audio. So we have the... Oh, you're going
to
say?
Can I just say, if anyone subscribes to the digital editions of The Examiner and Independent, if you subscribe to both, because there is only one paper coming out next week and one the following week...
One of our paid for, the couriers will cross out next week.
Yes, but you will be compensated for... missing two editions of a newspaper, so you'll have extra credits added to your account.
Exciting stuff.
You've not left, even though you're saving 20 pence every time, you're still not missing out.
Exactly. Wow. But it's a big paper. We've got this week is 64 pages. The following week is also a combined paper. That has a very special thing, and I'm quite excited about it. It should be. It's our COVID supplement, which charts what has been an amazing year for all the wrong and right reasons. You know, we see the best of people and we've seen the worst of people this year. But that's important. Dave's pictures, Dave Neal, our photographer, who got him behind, did loads of behind-the-scenes features during the COVID pandemic, and it's sort of a collection of them, and I think that's going to be really good. So that's 12 pages. So that's the following week, which will be, I think it'll be the 29th, that one's dated.
It's out on the Tuesday the 29th.
Yeah.
And the courier will be coming to your house the 23rd of December and the 30th of December.
Yeah, so earlier than you usually
get it. On a Wednesday instead of a Friday.
It's going to blow people's minds.
So don't complain. It is the right paper you're receiving on that day.
Grace, before we go, just Little Stars was in this week. You've obviously put that together. It looked great. So if you've got kids in primary school, and they did a Christmas play, there's a chance potentially we took a picture of them, isn't there?
Yeah, in The Examiner and The Independent this week. Very cute photos. A lot of little kids waving.
Yeah. I realised last week when we were talking about the R rating, people might have been thinking we were talking about coronavirus, but actually it was the R, A-H rather than R rating. Yeah. So the 2 8-page supplements are in this week's papers, which, of course, as we've said, you can buy digitally as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it for this week. This is our last one before Christmas, as we've said, and the New Year. So we'd be remiss of us not to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's a fond farewell to Katie. Please don't be a stranger. Please continue to listen. Please encourage all your members of your family to continue to listen.
I will.
Because our listenership would drop off substantially if they didn't. So, if you do want to get in touch, please do at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Until next year.
Bye for now.